Welcome to Spooky Time Tea, the show where we talk about ghosts, ghouls, murders, mysteries, and everything in between, all while enjoying a cup of tea, like a tea party, but spooky.
Spooky.
So, while Chloe is going to be first up today, I am going to tell you all what we are drinking today. So, the tea that we are drinking is Tiesta Tea. That is the brand. This is a relaxer. And it's a lavender chamomile, soft chamomile herbal tea. Let's see, it's got chamomile, lemongrass, blue malo blossoms. I've never heard of that.
Does it taste like
blossoms?
Does it taste like marshmallows? Because I might be in on that.
And lavender.
So, like, this is like what?
It's an herbal. It's an herbal in a rooibos tea, apparently.
The blue malo might be the malo in the malo root family, which would be in the marshmallow.
Really?
Guys, do we ever notice that some of my jokes actually turn out to be science facts? Like, I don't know.
It might be. I don't know if that's an actual fact. I'm just guessing.
Who knows? But I think this is a perfect tea to kind of help us all relax from stress that we've all been having.
Don't want to talk about it. You said this is like a relaxer tea? Yeah.
It is, yes.
Is this a good idea to be drinking at almost midnight?
Yeah.
It'll help us fall asleep while talking.
Well, no, it will be fine, but it'll help us sleep when we actually go to bed.
Great. Okay.
So, Chloe, what are we talking about today?
Well, if I can read my notes on my jacked up computer, it will be the Stanley Hotel.
Yay!
If anyone would like to contribute, well, we'll post a picture of my computer screen on Instagram so y'all can see the chaos. If anyone would like to contribute and get me a new computer, my Venmo is. Now, this is how I know my family listens to the podcast. If I get a new computer, I know you're listening. If not, liars.
Someone wants one for Christmas.
No, I need other things before a laptop. This one has been fine. I stepped on it a year ago, and it's still fine. It's cracked. It's fine. Stanley Hotel. Real fun. I have not seen the movie The Shining.
Oh, so good. So iconic. I love that movie so much.
I'm going to rephrase. I'm not allowed to watch the movie The Shining.
No. Well, I mean, honestly, it's not that bad. It's not.
I'm not allowing myself to watch that movie.
It's okay, but it's
more psychological.
It's more psychological.
That's the last thing I need. I already have so many psychological problems.
I mean, that's fair, but it is really, really good, though.
You know what else is good? Frozen 2.
I was going to say something Disney, but yep.
Look, we know who I am as a person. It's fine. So the Stanley Hotel is a 142... What happened?
Tea fart.
Hold on, let me see my camera on audio.
You must be really strong, because I can never do that.
Gross. It looks like it picked it up, too.
And in the words of us, tea fart.
Tea fart. So last week, Kitty, you talked about the Winchester House?
Mm-hmm.
How many rooms did that have?
It was about 160.
For a house.
A mansion.
For a mansion. Still, fucking same thing.
But yes.
same fucking thing. The Stanley Hotel had 142 rooms, so not quite as large. But it's a hotel, and thus 142 rooms is acceptable.
Fair enough. We don't judge why other people do the random acts that they do.
Here's the thing. I don't want to clean a 160-room house.
That is why she had crew members working for her.
Man, my dream is to just not ever clean my own house, but still have it clean all the time.
Let's rent a maid.
You can do that.
Yeah, they have rent-a-maids. They have, like, the little... they have different ones. Like, but I would love to hire one.
I like how we're all already diving in, but we have not discussed... We have not
We
clicked.
Know how many rooms are
oh,
there.
We have oh, not oh, we, oh, we hold on, hold on, hold on.
We had to wait for the tea to steep.
Yeah, okay, now that the tea is steeped...
Oh, yes. Oh, that's right. I forgot we were doing that. All right, clink.
Woo!
Oh, my God.
Violent clink.
The chaos. Kat, are you going to be okay not having a mic?
Yeah, I'll be fine. No, nope. I don't have a lot of important stuff.
Here,
to
hold
say.
On. That's come,
a
lie. Come this way, and we can.
Our mic setup is a little bit different this week.
Just because Chloe doesn't know how to get her shit together.
Monsters behind me. Hold on.
Fuck you. Fuck you.
Fuck you, go man.
No. So my laptop died and did not print out my notes for this week. I have no notes for this week. This is all coming off of me reading off the wiki.
Hate it.
You didn't even let us get ours ready.
It is a fruit. It's not a fruity one.
No, it's more
Well, it has more flowers in it.
It tastes like a garden.
It's all
like
floral. Dirt. It's all floral.
I don't like it. 10 out of 10. Do not recommend.
Oh, sorry. No, you're good.
That didn't make sense. Okay.
Ouch, that's hot.
Chloe is on one today, guys.
Ooh, that's yummy.
Been up since 6 a.m.
Same.
Did you not nap after you brought me to work?
A little bit.
Okay, well, that's more than I did. No, I did take a nap.
I did take a nap
today.
Yes, you did.
You got napping.
Yeah, it was an hour.
I was... Utrecht woke me up at 6:45 this
Utrecht
morning.
Utrecht is one of Kat's new cats.
Yes, to demand food. I assume. I fed them. I went back to bed. At 7:45, he headbutted me in the cheek. So I got up.
Give me love and attention now.
I love that cat more than anything on this planet.
Poppet is just so chill. She's just like, I'm going to sleep. And Utrecht is like, not me, bitch.
I hope you know that Utrecht is actually just me after I pass away when I come back as that cat and right. Just bug you forever. Anyways, Stanley Hotel, 142-room Colonial Revival Hotel in Estes Park, Colorado.
Ooh.
My home state.
One of my favorite places.
Estes Park?
Yeah.
Or the Stanley Hotel?
I fucking love Estes Park. I've
never been.
Oh, it's beautiful. We stayed on the river 10 years ago. Holy shit. 10 years ago in the summer, we stayed on the river in a cabin, and it was one of the most amazing trips.
Okay, I was going to say, you got to actually stay at the Stanley Hotel. I thought you were going to say
no,
you actually
I wanted
got
to desperately, but it was only me, my dad, and my little brother, and my dad is a hard ass, and he was like, absolutely not. We're not staying there. We're staying in a cabin.
My
which was
equally fun.
My stepmom
stayed there, but... and I have a story for later.
Ooh, okay.
A story that she told me.
We like
so
that.
So it was originally, it opened to the public on July 4th, 1909, because patriotic.
Mm-hmm.
As a resort for the upper-class Easterners, and as a health retreat for sufferers of pulmonary tuberculosis.
Yep.
So here's the thing. I understand that back then they thought fresh air was good for you, and they didn't understand the amount of oxygen in the air in Colorado. There's not air in Colorado. As someone from there, the air is really thin. It's hard to breathe. You have to, like, adjust.
Mm-hmm.
When I moved states earlier this year down from Colorado, here's the thing. I don't run. A bitch does not run. I could when I moved down here because there's so much fucking air down here.
Yeah.
I was fine. I was never out of breath. Like, I was good to go. There's not air in Colorado.
I feel like I've felt that because I've flown through Denver, and there was a difference in, like, the air quality. Mm-hmm. I could definitely feel
the
it.
The air's
like,
literally heavy down here.
I did not I mean, I experienced the, like, the lightness of the air.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I experienced... I'm sorry I'm not looking at you, Chloe.
No, the mic's over there.
Yeah. I experienced the lightness of the air, like, it definitely felt cleaner, and... Are you... Chloe, I'm so sorry.
It's fine.
It was her fault. Yeah, our mic situation's a little different, so I can't look at Chloe
sorry.
While I'm talking. But anyway,
I need a new laptop real bad. This one just dies on me all the time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I definitely felt the difference in the air. However, I did not experience, like, when I went, we have a friend that lives in Glenwood Springs,
mm-hmm.
and that's where we were, was Glenwood Springs, and he was like, we went on a hike, and he was like, if you need to take a break, slow down, drink some water, you might get sick because of the
altitude.
I felt none of that.
Altitude.
I didn't
sickness,
have
yeah.
any headaches. I didn't feel, now, all the friends that were with me, on the other hand, they...
Got sick?
Felt it. Okay. They didn't get
how
sick.
How much water were you drinking while you were there?
I didn't drink a lot.
Weird.
Of water. I just don't.
They say when you go there, and especially every time I go back, I have to always have water on me.
That's what Danny was saying. He was mm-hmm. like, you need to drink as much water as you can. I drank mostly coffee.
And you want to go back?
I miss it. It's home for me.
But you can breathe.
I could breathe up there. I've been there for 12 years. I adjusted.
That's true.
Anyways, if you have tuberculosis, you want air.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Colorado doesn't have it, and I don't think they understood that at the time. It was very much a fresh air, natural surroundings, lack of stress. What's that like? I'll never know. Today, the hotel includes a restaurant, a spa, and a bed and breakfast, along with some panoramic views of Lake Estes, the Rockies, and Long's Peak.
Sounds dreamy.
The Stanley Hotel also inspired Stephen King's 1977 best-selling novel, The Shining,
mm-hmm.
and filming location for related 1997 miniseries.
Because he hated the movie.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah, he fucking hated that movie. That's why they did the miniseries, because he hated the movie so much.
I didn't know that. Didn't they also redo the movie?
No, they didn't redo the movie, so basically the...
I thought there was, like, a newer version of the movie.
Dr. Sleep, I think is what it is.
It was before that.
Want to talk about Dr. Sleep.
I'm not talking about that one. There was one that took place after the first movie. Was it the mini... It might have been the miniseries.
I think you're thinking of
the miniseries. Might be talking about the miniseries,
because I went to a middle school on Sloan's Lake that was briefly featured in the background of what I was told was the remake of The Shining.
No, it was the miniseries.
Okay.
Yeah. Wait, well, you don't like Dr. Sleep?
I like Dr. Sleep as an independent movie. I do not think it should have been the sequel to The Shining. Any way, shape, or form. Maybe the books... I've never read the books, so maybe the book ties in with The Shining, the original mm-hmm. book, a little better. Mm-hmm. They tie into each other. But as movies, Dr. Sleep should not have been made a sequel. It ties into the first movie in the most ridiculous manner. I have a lot of opinions about that movie.
I haven't seen it, so I can't really say much about it, but I wanted to see it.
It has a totally different feel from the first movie, mm-hmm. and I don't dig it. Mm. I'm not into it.
Cannot contribute to this conversation.
I mean, it does, because it still has to do with The Shining, because it that movie still ties into The Shining. Anyways.
So the history of the hotel, at this point, I'm basically just reading off the Wikipedia page, but we're not going to talk about that. In 1903, Freeland Oscar Stanley, who invented the Yankee steam-powered car, was stricken with a life-threatening resurgence of tuberculosis. The most highly recommended treatment is fresh, dry air with much sunlight and a hearty diet. Sure. Colorado's really dry. I used to get nosebleeds all the time.
Huh.
Yeah. You just walk around and get a nosebleed because it's so dry.
That explains a lot about that trip 10 years ago.
Did you think you were possessed?
No, I didn't think I was possessed. I had chronic nosebleeds as a kid, and I couldn't go above 9,000 feet because my nose would turn on like a faucet.
Yeah.
And it was horrifying.
Did that happen on your trip?
Yes, several times.
Oh, okay.
Many times, yeah.
Yep, so watch out for that. Stanley resolved to take the curative air of the Rocky Mountains. He and his wife, Flora, arrived in Denver, Colorado in March, and in June, on the recommendation of Dr. Sherman Grant Booney, moved to Estes Park. They moved there for the rest of the summer, just until his health kind of improved. And as one does when you move to Colorado, you kind of fall in love with, like, the beauty of the mountains.
It's beautiful, yeah.
I don't do mountains, but it's fine. I like the city, but I love Colorado. Like, it's pretty everywhere.
I love nature, and I love the mountains, so I bet you it's gorgeous.
I cried when I poked a stick bug thinking it was a stick. I don't do outside. He decided to come back every year. He lived to be 91 years old and died of a heart attack in Newton, Massachusetts, 1 year after his wife in 1940. By 1907, Stanley had recovered completely from his tuberculosis. However, he was not content with the rustic accommodations and lazy pastimes and relaxed social scene from the summer home in Estes Park. He didn't like it. He's like, this is peasant shit. I'm out. Mm. I don't know if that was his actual thoughts, but that's what I picture him saying because of what the Stanley Hotel turned into.
Gotcha.
So in 1907, after he decided he was done with the old place, out with the old, in with the new, they began the construction of Hotel Stanley, now known as the Stanley Hotel, a 48-room grand hotel that catered to the class of moderately wealthy urbanites. That's the most pretentious phrase on this fucking Wikipedia page.
Urbanites?
Moderately wealthy urbanites. Just humble brag about your wealth. Just like, don't throw... I'm not Jay-Z and Beyonce. I am a little bit better than you. That's what I get from
that. So, snobby.
Yes.
Yes.
You know the neighborhood I used to live in?
Snob Hill?
Yes.
Every place has a Snob Hill.
Yeah. Who composed of mainly the Stanley social circle from back east. They're like East Coasters. As well as to consumptives seeking healthful climate. I wanted to say helpful, but they said healthful, and I feel like that's not a word. The land was purchased in 1908, which is weird because they started construction in 1907, so I'm thinking there was some building without permission, but you know, we're not going to talk about it.
Probably.
Land was purchased in 1908. The main hotel and concert hall, which we'll talk about later, were completed in 1909, and the manor in 1910. To bring guests from the nearest train depot from the foothills and the towns of Lyons, Colorado, Stanley's car company produced a fleet of specifically designed steam-powered vehicles called mountain wagons that seated multiple passengers. Because remember, the guy that started the Stanley Hotel was a car in person.
Yeah.
You're hungry there.
Wrong person.
You know what? That's...
Is it the... Is that the same company? No. I was like, wait...
No, but Stanley Steamers, I feel like, is way bigger in Colorado than it is here. Because those commercials are on...
Oh, they're, like, they're everywhere.
Okay, I don't watch TV anymore.
They're everywhere.
I don't either. But when I was a kid...
I don't mean to sound pretentious. I'm broke as shit. I don't watch TV anymore. In 1926, Stanley sold his hotel to a private company incorporated for the sole purposes of running it. The venture failed, and in 1929, Stanley purchased his property out of foreclosure, selling it again in 1930. This man just keeps, like, ebbing and flowing with his own property.
Of course.
Are you looking up the cars? Are you looking up Stanley Steamer?
Cat. See if it was related.
I really, that, it made me go.
No, I'm assuming that's a no.
No, it's a big no.
No. So Stanley purchased his property out of foreclosure and sold it again in 1930 to fellow automobile and hotel magnate Roe Emery from Denver. Did I say Denver?
You did.
Okay. I just wanted, I had a brain meltdown where I was like, I don't think I said that word right. Okay.
It's okay. It's okay.
I'm about to have a mental break. Okay. Until 1983, the resort was only open during the summers and shut down for winter every year. That changed.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Cue The Shining.
Cue the... Wait, when does that movie take place? Like, what time of year?
During the winter.
Okay.
The whole thing is that how he was inspired to write the book.
Here I go.
Stephen King and his wife stayed up there during the winter, and there was, like, nobody else in the hotel but them. And it eventually began kind of driving him mad. So that's how he got the inspiration to write The Shining, which is literally about, I think it's an author.
Mm.
Yeah, it's an author that he takes his family up to the hotel for the winter, and it's only them in the hotel, and he slowly starts losing his mind.
Because he's basically, he got hired on as like a caretaker for the winter because everyone else is sent home, and he's the caretaker, but... The previous caretaker, oh, spoiler alert, previous caretaker ended up killing the family
because
he went crazy.
I'm not watching this movie.
Yeah. It's a lot.
Who wants to hear about the 1911 gas explosion?
Let's do it.
Let us
love this.
Do it. So this happened at the hotel?
Mm-hmm. Upon opening, the hotel was alleged to be one of the few in the world powered entirely by electricity.
Wow.
Because it's 1911.
That's impressive.
That's impressive.
Yeah. However, because it was so early on, and the lack of responsible power and lack of general power induced by the installation of the auxiliary gas lighting system, on June 25th, the day after the pipes had been filled, an explosion occurred that injured a maid and damaged the structure.
Mm.
Though contemporary newspaper articles defer on certain details, a brief article telegraphed to York Dispatch of York, Pennsylvania. It said, the Stanley Hotel built at a cost of $500,000. If someone wants to figure that out, it was 1911. $500,000
in 1911
dollars.
Got you. Wow. Did you hear
that? Who wants to make a guess?
My voice. That was weird.
Yeah, it was really weird.
I got you.
$500,000 in 1911?
Is, I'm going to say $1.3 million today.
That's a very specific number. Let's see if you're right. $500,000?
$13
million. $13 million.
I just had to move the decimal.
Wow.
Or the, $13,704,631.58 today.
So, the Stanley Hotel, built at a cost of that today, which was $500,000 then, was partly wrecked last night by an explosion of the gas. 8 persons were injured, none seriously. Oh, sorry, 1 seriously. None of the guests were injured. Elizabeth Wilson of Lancaster, Pennsylvania, a hotel employee, was hurled from the second to the first floor. Jesus. Both ankles were broken, as were several waiters.
Broken?
Her ankles were broken. Both of her ankles were broken because she was thrown from the second to the first floor.
As well as several waiters?
Several waiters, I guess.
Were broken also? In the process?
No. Because it said 8 persons were injured. 1, seriously, none of the guests were injured. So one of the 8 people was the a hotel employee who was hurled from the second to the first floor. The other 7 were waiters.
I understand. Okay, yeah. The wording was getting me. Okay.
Here's the thing.
Damn, that's crazy that she got thrown.
Over, like, probably over a banister. Or through a banister. Mm. Either one is a fun situation to be in.
No.
When Lancaster paper reprinted the story, the editor noted that Elizabeth Wilson's name did not appear in local directories, and she could not be identified as a Lancasterian. What do you guys call yourself in Lancaster, if we have any listeners in Lancaster? Because I can't say that word, and it doesn't seem correct. Similar accounts in local Colorado papers give the maid's name as Elizabeth Lambert, and convey very dramatic details that are not confirmed by other articles. So, people are running with the story because they're bored. I love Colorado. The mountains.
I'm sure.
Like, I grew up in a, like, I consider myself having grown up in a small town in the mountains. Rumors spread like fucking wildfire, and they're lies most of the time. Like, we don't have a movie theater. We have to drive an hour out of the way. Like, you get fucking bored. And, like, in 1911, when it's gonna take a shit ton of work to get you anywhere fun.
Yeah.
Like, gotta roll with it. Gotta create your own entertainment.
Just like in the movie. Because it takes them forever to get back over to the hotel. You think about it.
Nope. Despite a peaceful early history, in the years following the publication of The Shining, the Stanley Hotel gained a reputation as a setting for paranormal activity. It hosts numerous paranormal investigators and appeared in shows such as Ghost Hunters and Ghost Adventures. The hotel also offers guided tours, which feature spaces to be exceptionally active. So if I go to...
So were there, like, deaths or something that happened on the grounds to make it haunted, or...
Like I just said, it's, like, it has a peaceful early history, but it was, like, after The Shining came out, then people were, like... It's haunted.
So I'm wondering if, like, they just assumed because the movie came out and the book that...
Well, it was a center for tuberculosis, right?
Yeah.
So I'm sure there are plenty of deaths that happened on the property.
That's true. I completely forgot. That went over my head that that was the...
It's often forgot about. Yeah, definitely. It's known for such other more famous things now that...
And, like... Like, Room 217 has, like, I guess a lot of rumors about it. But that's where Stephen King stayed. Yes. Like, that's the reason that room is scary, is because he stayed in that one, so he made it a part of the story.
And I could be wrong. I might be totally wrong on this. It could be a totally different number. But in the movie, the room that he walked... There's a scene that I'm not going to go into detail about. But there's a scene where the kid walks in, both the kid and the dad at some point, walk into the room and something very scary happens, and I believe it is room 217, but I could be totally wrong.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. But I think you know what? I think that was 217. Yeah.
I lied. Apparently the location of that gas explosion, although this one gives an entirely different year, was room 217.
Oh, wow.
Also, if anyone else is worried about that maid that broke both of her ankles, she was fine. She recovered and returned to her job, which she held until her death at age 90.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I wouldn't have gone back. Nope. I would have taken that hotel's money and retired.
She probably didn't. They didn't do workers' comp back then.
So. No, but they still did lawsuits.
Well, yeah.
If she sued them.
Yeah.
Girl, you deserve better than that. I know, my stepmom went to the Stanley Hotel for some birthday in her high school years. I think it was, like, 18, maybe? Mm-hmm. So her and her friends had, a sleepover in one of the rooms, and they were comparing bra sizes, as girls in high school do, and her friends all stop and look at her with big doe eyes, like, big eyes, like, what the fuck is happening? My stepmom's hair was static in every direction, like, pin straight static all around her. She said they all screamed and they didn't sleep a wink that night at all.
That's like terrifying.
Out of nowhere.
Love that.
And she's like, nope. I don't know what room they stayed in, but like...
Did she feel like anything other than like that? Like,
it's been so long since I've talked to her about the Stanley Hotel, I don't remember. But like, to have someone you know have like personal ghost stories. I've also seen like videos on YouTube of people who will, there's a ghost that will clean your room while you're gone. So people will go in and like trash their rooms and they'll come back and their clothes are all like perfectly folded.
No. Okay, guys, stop summoning ghosts to clean your room.
Wait, is that a thing we can do now?
Is bitch. That what they
do? How about let's not summon anything in the house?
No summoning anything, guys. No, stop it.
Stop the summoning. I don't really know, but like there's videos online of people are like, all right, we're gonna trash the room, or we're gonna come back, and we're gonna see if everything's folded, and sometimes the shit's folded. I don't know if
it's staged or not. Okay, now I gotta like look at these videos because I'm curious.
And then there's, like, doors will open on their own and close by themselves.
Oh, yeah. I follow several people on TikTok who are absolutely living in
just awful conditions right now. Not awful conditions, that's not the right word, but they're living not great because of stuff that's going on in their house that is very scary. If it's true. Mm. And, you know, anyone could be faking it, but...
Oh, yeah.
That's the skepticism in all this. But, yeah, that's the Stanley Hotel in Estes Park, Colorado. Super spooks.
Fun.
The concert hall is also thought to be haunted. I've seen some YouTubers I will not name sneaking into the concert hall where they were not supposed to be. Doing some sketchy, shady things.
Love that.
Getting some stuff on video, I'm assuming.
Yeah, definitely. Stuff. Yeah. I don't think they got anything on video, but, like, yeah. There's, like, a lot of YouTube videos of people that'll just go to the Stanley Hotel and be like, there's this lady on the staircase that appears in photos sometimes, and there's, like, it's crazy. I don't know where those ghosts come from, though. I mean, I would guess they're tuberculosis patients.
Probably. Yeah. Or maybe there could be people who stayed at the hotel and maybe died.
I was about to say residual hauntings. That's a huge thing.
Yeah, people that just spent time there. Because Stanley and his wife summer homed in Estes.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't their hotel, like...
Who knows? Maybe people have seen their ghosts.
Yeah, there. Maybe.
Who knows?
So that is the story of the Stanley Hotel.
Fun!
Nice. I somehow managed to pull that off. With no research, go me.
You are awesome!
The Stanley Hotel is always a really interesting topic of conversation.
It is.
I've always wanted to go and stay there just because it's amazing.
Another field trip.
Hard pass.
Oh, come on. Do it.
That one's not even very haunted.
Mm-mm.
You say it like I didn't just do a story on it.
Saying,
if you guys maybe watch The Shining and take me to that, I will never speak to you again. And that's saying a lot because y'all are my best friends.
Okay, fine. We won't let you watch it, but we're taking you. We're turning the page. We're going down the true crime route. All right, guys. So, I don't know if you've all ever heard of the horse tranquilizer murder.
What?
Nope.
Horse tranquilizer murder.
That
sounds exciting.
So, this actually happened. Not terribly, well, not like, it happened more in like the early 2000s.
Okay.
Okay then.
Okay,
that so. That sounds like something that would happen way back in the day.
How old are horse tranquilizers?
How old?
Yeah, like,
I mean, they've probably been using it for a long time. I don't know. Not quite sure.
Semi-unrelated, do y'all remember Spirit?
Yes. Such a good movie.
Proceed.
All right, so
that's the only thing to add.
On February 5th, 2002, workers at the San Joaquin Vineyard discovered a leg sticking out of the ground. The workers immediately notified the police.
I'd hope so.
Oh, Jesus. I don't like how this started.
Responding officers pulled out a man's decomposing body. The body was later identified as Larry McNabney. He was a super successful injury attorney.
Oh, well, that's,
Oh, how the turntables.
Oh, no.
So.
No.
So during the autopsy, they discovered that McNabney was killed several months before.
Oh, wow.
Oh, shit.
His body was found. Yes. The cause of death, you ask?
What's the cause of death, Kitty?
A lethal dose of horse tranquilizer.
Sounds like a party went wrong.
That's...
Nope.
Rough.
That's a lot.
Who... I mean, let's talk about this method of murder real quick.
Sure.
Because that's different.
Mm-hmm.
Very different.
A veterinarian did it.
Oh, but you would be so wrong.
Oh, well, who else has horse tranquilizers?
You know?
Was the person that did it dating a veterinarian?
You can find them on Amazon.
You really?
You could probably find people.
Googling.
To be clear, we're not making fun of this very dark situation.
No.
We're trying to make light.
This is how I handle my trauma.
This is how we handle uncomfortable situations.
Yes, absolutely.
As we normally do in these kind of situations. But,
It makes it palatable.
Larry McNabney was first reported missing in September 2001.
That's not a fun time to have been reported missing.
No.
Just wait, it gets worse.
Oh, no.
Especially the dates on this whole case.
Oh.
In 2001?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, no. Don't tell me.
Mm-hmm. Yep. The date you're exactly thinking is the same day.
Oh, no.
But, yeah. So we're going to continue. So reports show that he was last seen being carted away in a wheelchair by his wife after suddenly falling ill and collapsing at a horse show in Susanville, California.
She did it.
The wife did it. It's always the spouse.
It's always the spouse. Or the butler.
Or the butler.
But if you don't have a butler, it's the spouse.
Yeah.
Usually, yeah. Family and coworkers, of course, you know, are starting to become worried, right? Because, yeah. you know, they haven't seen him in a while, and he's kind of stopped showing up to work and stopped, you know, contacting family members, you know, and he's a well-liked person, so it's kind of a little mysterious that this he's just not.
This is the reason I'm an extrovert, because the second I go missing, someone's going to know.
Yeah.
So, she'd be like, we haven't heard from her in a while.
Nobody
She's quiet.
Would know. Nobody would know if I went missing.
I would know because you would have killed her snap streak.
Oh, yeah.
So, an acquaintance of the couple, Evan Rees, actually told the police that while they were at the horse race, or the horse show, because apparently Larry was really into horses and liked to go to, like, these horse shows and, like, races and things like that, right? So, his wife asked if horse tranquilizers could kill a person.
See?
Yep. So, bitch did it!
You know, that's a little suspicious that someone's asking about, could this kill somebody? So, you know, like I said, family and coworkers started to become concerned that he wasn't showing up to work and contacting family, so they went to his wife questioning about his whereabouts. She would start to lie and say things like he ran off or he was trying to file for divorce and kind of ran off with someone else.
The bitch did it.
That's sus. The wife is sus.
The wife's sus.
Mm-hmm. So after the discovery of Larry's body, his wife's name, first of all, is Elisa. And she now became the subject of a nationwide manhunt.
Oh, did she go missing? Was she gone?
She ran. No.
She disappeared ran. Once they discovered the body.
Disappeared? Ran.
So, going into a little backstory about Elisa. Okay, you guys ready for this?
Was she a Black Widow?
Maybe.
Oh, no.
In a sense, we'll get to that. Elisa McNabby was born January 20th, 1966, under the name Lauren Renee Sims, to parents Jesse and Jackie Sims in Attleboro, Massachusetts, before moving to Florida. So, she seemed to have a normal teenage life. You know, she was a cheerleader, she was super smart, was, you know, wanted to participate and do well in school.
Don't trust it.
Don't trust it. No.
She even had an IQ of 140.
Wow.
I think mine's like 7.
Most serial killers do.
I think mine's like 7.
I don't know what mine is, but yeah. So she had that typical teenage, you know, doing really well in school. Everybody, you know, she was doing all good and all that stuff. However, she ended up dropping out of high school. And then it just gets worse from there. She ends up having children, 2 kids, with 2 different fathers.
Nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that. But she dropped out of school after being, like super... There's nothing wrong with having kids and stuff.
So it was like really, what you're saying is that it was really suspicious that she dropped out of school very suddenly, even though she was really
popular. Yeah, and she was really good at school. Yeah, she just dropped out of nowhere. So it sounds like something started to snap.
It was my very question, uncharacteristic.
Yes.
Where'd the kids go?
I'll get to that.
Okay.
Or at least one of them. They didn't really talk about the other
Did
child.
She kill them?
No.
Okay.
What started to get strange was that she started to get into life of crime, which was very uncharacteristic about her in being a goody-goody and then all of a sudden starting to get into things that she shouldn't be getting into. So she, like I said, she started to steal things. Mm-hmm. So she was arrested for stealing hair dye from a Woolworth in Tampa, Florida. That's her first bad, like, spring of things that started to go down. And then
if it's a chain, it's free reign.
After she was released on that charge, she violated her probation by illegally using a credit card. So what she decided to do was cut off her ankle bracelet and
that triggers it.
Yep. And head to Vegas with her daughter, Haley. They didn't say anything about the other child, but
how
her daughter,
old is Haley?
At this time, she's like a little kid, like probably 3, 4.
Kids don't appreciate Vegas.
No. So, over the course of many years, she became quite a scam artist and also had a total of 38 aliases.
Whoa. 38?
Does she have
38.
Does she have, like, just, like, a little pocketbook of all of her aliases? Like, you do, like, phone numbers for your friends?
She probably had passports. She had all of these different things.
That's wild.
Mm-hmm. So, when Lauren, now going by Elisa, got to Vegas, she applied for a job at Larry McNabney's, Jesus, law office. She worked as an office manager and helped settle large cases. So in
here's where the shit's going to start getting really weird with both him and her, which is really strange.
So, in late 1995, Larry's law firm was being investigated by the Nevada State Bar. They found out that she was embezzling more than $140,000 from clients.
That's so much. Hey, can I borrow $140,000 real quick, guys? Is that how you do it? Is that how you go about?
That's how you embezzle
it. Can I borrow it real quick?
That's exactly how it's done.
So you see, like, she's a scam artist, so she's starting to do these things. Like, you know, she's working her way.
I would be so bad at being a scam artist.
I know. Like, I would never get away with that shit. I went to business school, and I'd never get away with that shit.
So
I didn't go to school.
Due to this embezzlement charge and things that were going on, Larry decided to close his office in Reno and Vegas and move the practice to Sacramento, California, just to kind of start fresh somewhere else, a new location, you know, because he's probably going to be losing clients.
Now's the time when I tell you my name's not really Chloe and I didn't really hear from Denver.
So, this is where I think is really strange, but, so even though she was responsible for the embezzlement, he ended up marrying her.
You know what?
In 1996.
We all make mistakes.
There's me too. There's no, like, explanation. Mm-mm. Like, he's just like, you stole thousands of dollars from my company. Let's get married. You're hot.
He was, like, infatuated with her. Like,
she did the bend and snap.
Well, something about her, like,
look,
caught his eye. And
she has an IQ of 140 and he's a man.
She
outsmarted him.
On the antisocial spectrum is what it sounds like to me.
I'm not a psychologist, but that doesn't sound wrong.
It's, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like it to me.
This is not diagnosing, this is conversation.
Yeah, this is just us, like guessing. Cause we don't know anything else about this woman other than she embezzled thousands of dollars and...
hundreds of thousands.
Had 38 different, like...
Well, she had just, like, she... like, kind of hopped around and started doing all these different, like, little crimes and stuff. So she had a nice string of, like little crimes.
She's very manipulative.
Oh, yeah.
It sounds if I had been on this woman's level of crazy, anytime I moved, I would just change my name because I moved so many times.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what I should.
I don't know. So this poor guy has had a bad string of relationships because she ended up being his fifth wife.
Oh, God.
So.
If I ever get to that number of marriages.
Should say fifth and last wife.
Okay. Yep. Mm-hmm. If I ever get above three or four,
right,
I make the
below
joke.
The belt.
Not trying to make light or anything of the situation, but like this guy seemed to have just bad, you know,
bad
judgment
in his love life.
Yeah, like So, and maybe too trusting.
Yeah. Definitely.
Especially, especially the fact that he's like still like willing to forgive her for embezzling and kind of screwing his company over. So that's just a little.
Maybe she did it and bought him a nice ring.
I don't know. So on September 10th, 2001, the morning of the horse show, Elisa and her fellow employee and friend, because she worked at the same company, her name is Sarah Dutra. They schemed this whole plan together, and they were in on this, so together. And what they decided to do was put a high power horse tranquilizer in her husband's drink. And this is in the morning of the horse show. They go to the horse show.
Do they have flavors? Like, how do you not taste that?
It's probably probably like an alcoholic beverage or something. Maybe he can't taste it. I don't know. So while at the horse show, it started to become like really ill and then he collapsed. Then they brought him back to their hotel room and gave him another dose of the horse tranquilizer.
What was the point in this? Did they ever specify? Like, what was the, like, why did she want to kill him? What was the motive?
Because they wanted to take the money.
Okay, life insurance money. It's always life insurance.
Yep.
It's always life insurance money. I will never get life insurance because that's how I die. Sorry, fam. You're on your own.
She literally just wanted the money. Like, she was money hungry. That's what she wanted.
Gotcha.
So, they had wanted to bury him at Yosemite National Park. However, when they got there, they drove all the way over there. He was still alive.
Oh, no.
Homeboy.
But he's out of it because he's so drugged up that he's out of it, but he's still alive. And so, basically, they couldn't bury him because he's alive. So, they go and take him back to their house.
mini road trip for no reason.
And then he finally passed away on September 11th. So, yes.
That's why no one found him for a long-ass time. Mm-hmm.
Gets worse. So, after he died, they put his body in a refrigerator in the garage and kept it in there until December 2001.
Whoa, what?
Yep.
Body fridge.
It was a legit regular refrigerator. They just took the shelving and everything out. Oh,
the stand-up ones?
Yes.
Oh, no. This isn't funny.
This
is
awful. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's pretty sad. And then once December 2001 came around, they decided, all right, now is the time to go ahead and take the body and let's go bury it.
Why did they decide, yes, this is the time?
Probably because they're like, oh, it's been months. They think that he's gone, that he ran off. It's a fun
Christmas activity.
Maybe they think, like,
the woods.
Maybe. I don't know. So they...
See, there's some lights up?
They didn't go to the woods, though. They went to a vineyard and buried him.
I don't know how Californians do winter.
At this winery. I don't know why they...
At the winery?
At the winery.
How did he end up in the...
I don't know why they did what they did.
Why are we questioning this and not why she decided to kill him? Like, I understand for the money, but, like, psychologically, why?
Just some people are fucked up. I don't like it.
So by the time the police actually found the body, she had already liquidated all of their assets, totaling more than $500,000, and then disappeared. Shit. Now, there had been different sources, and even on the ID channel that I was watching, like the documentary about this, they were talking about how she also bought Sarah a car. Like, they both were driving around with new cars, and, you know, obviously she went her own separate way, and Sarah went her own separate way after everything was said and done, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, she's like, okay, I got my piece out of this after doing whatnot. She started to go by a different alias to avoid, you know, number this 39. Whole manhunt that's going on, this whole nationwide manhunt.
And of course, door number 39 is
Shane Ivoroni.
Nope, don't like that.
Ivoroni.
It sounds like macaroni.
I might be pronouncing this wrong, but it's It's Ivaro.
I love the name Shane.
But I don't know. I'm pretty sure it's Ivoroni.
I have an Aunt Sean.
I don't know why I'm making that comment. I'm just tired.
No, I mean, for a female name, that's nice.
I like boys' names on girls. Like, traditionally, mm-hmm. boys' names on girls.
I like it, too.
Like, have you ever known a girl hunter? Always a badass.
Yeah. I've never...
True.
Never True. Heard yeah, or true. Met anyone named Hunter, but that's... I mean, I know someone who's named Hunter, but I mean a female
I knew
Hunter.
A girl named Caleb.
I like that, too.
Yeah. I know someone that was named that, too.
Anyway.
Anyways, so she started to go by this alias and was starting to hide out in Destin, Florida. So she left California. She hightailed that shit back.
To the country.
She's like, nope, I just murdered somebody in California. I'm hightailing it out of there.
Yeah. You want to get as far away as physically possible.
Oh, yeah. On March 20th, 2002, even though her name is Shane at this point, I'm going by Elisa because that's what most of her name was throughout this whole story. She was staying at her daughter Haley's friend's house in Fort Walton Beach when she decided to turn herself in because
it was eating at her. Is that what you're trying to say? Is that she felt bad?
Did she?
She didn't feel bad about it, but she like, just decided. I guess it was time. Maybe she was done running and she wanted to do something because it's like affecting her child. Maybe.
Yeah.
She sounds like a selfish person. I don't think it's because it affected her child in any way.
I mean, it's very... Well, there's...
It could be that she just didn't want to run her
She sounds
life.
Selfish, yeah. But there's something that she does later I'm going to talk about that, yes, it is kind of petty, but we'll get to that. So, she was booked at Hernando County Jail and was to be extradited to California. While waiting to be extradited, she gave a full confession about the murder. Went into all details, didn't hold anything back. But after she finished giving her confession and whatnot, a week later on Easter Sunday 2002, she hung herself in her cell.
Oh, no.
Wow. No justice.
No.
There's more to that, why she did it. Now, going over to Sarah. Sarah stood trial for the murder of Larry in 2003. At this time, she could have faced life imprisonment without parole if found guilty of first-degree murder. However, she was only found guilty of voluntary manslaughter and being accessory to murder. So she was only sentenced to a maximum of 11 years and 8 months in prison. However, she didn't serve the full time. She only served about 85% of her time before being let loose.
Was that on good behavior?
Yes.
You murder someone, you don't get good behavior. I'm sorry. That's dumb.
Mm-hmm. Here is where she was being petty, but also up to her scam artistness. Even in death. Elisa wrote a suicide note asking her lawyer to sue the Hernando County Jail for not preventing her suicide.
Whoa, wait, what?
Sorry, rewind, freeze, repeat?
Yes. So she basically had her lawyer, after she, and this was in her suicide note, she wanted the lawyer to sue the jail for saying that they were not supervising her and they weren't, like, they would barely go in there and check on her throughout the day and do all these different things. Like, she was making lies about things that they weren't doing and stuff. And eventually they came back, you know, like, there was evidence that she was totally lying about this, the whole thing.
That's crazy.
But she did, and then she asked in her suicide letter that her children receive the funds that she received from the lawsuit. Like, she wanted that the funds to go to her children.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, who else is it gonna go to?
Obviously not her husband.
Yeah, or her.
Or her.
So, like, who, like...
Like...
What if she...
Or maybe her family, like her mom and dad. We were talking
about earlier, she sounds like a very selfish person. I still think that's a very selfish thing.
Yeah.
She just... There's nowhere else for the money to go except her children. I can't believe after what she did that that was purely out of...
Love for her kids.
Yeah. No.
Because, like, the kids literally never come up anywhere else in her life except for, like, she took her daughter fucking Vegas when she was a kid, like...
I don't know. It
incorrect.
Was...
Incorrect!
It was just crazy, and, you know, it's crazy. I don't know. Like, she sold, like, a lot of stuff. Like I said, she fled. Like, when she sold all of her husband's assets and stuff, she, like I said, she bought the luxury car. Like, I mean, when she bought the car for her and Sarah, they were fancy, like... Almost like Tesla type vehicles, if you think about, like, luxury.
Like, yeah. Luxury cars for the time.
Yeah.
The early 2000s.
In a sense, yeah. So, incredible. Like, she... Yeah, and this is how bad she was as far as, like, throughout her whole entire life, as far as, like, scamming people. She had a 113-page rap sheet.
Whoa.
Of stuff that she had did.
Yikes.
So, yeah, she was,
a bad bitch, and not in a good way.
No.
No. So... Yeah, this story just intrigued me because I had never...
It's a wild story.
Yeah, it's a wild story, and I had never heard of anybody being murdered with horse tranquilizers. No, so I was just like, what?
That's fun.
Yeah. So I figured you guys would enjoy this this one.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
Yeah, that was a really good one.
So yeah, that's my story about the horse tranquilizer murder of Larry. All right, Kat.
You up, baby?
What are you going to tell us about?
So today, we are talking about the infamous... I say infamous. I feel like a lot of people don't know about this story. It's one that I actually learned from a YouTube channel called Top Fives. He does various top fives, like top fives, like creepiest videos found on the internet.
He's nope, super don't like those.
Yeah, they're super great. They're awesome videos. So if you get a chance, go check him out because they're freaking awesome. It sounds cheesy, like, talking about it, but the execution of it is beautiful. I love it.
I'm intrigued.
Yeah, you should absolutely watch them because they're super creepy to watch. And he has some really big compilations that I've gone through that are fun. So, this one's called The 6 Mile Inn. This is the story of John and Lavinia Fisher. They lived outside of Charleston, South Carolina.
Lavinia is such a familiar name. I can't place it.
Did you ever watch The Little Princess?
Yes.
Yeah, that was the mean girl's name in The Little Princess, was Lavinia.
Fuck.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that name. I love that name. And you can tell I love that name because I do have a character that I wrote for a story that I was writing a really long time ago, and her name was Lavinia. Mm. Anyway, I do like that name. However, Lavinia always seems to be put, like, the bad people always seem to have that name. I don't know.
It has a very...
So I'm assuming this happens with your story, too.
Yes.
I feel like Lavinia...
All right. So, John and Lavinia Fisher. Mainly Lavinia. And we'll get to why in a minute. So, mainly Lavinia. We'll get to that later. So, John and Lavinia Fisher, as I said, lived outside of Charleston, South Carolina.
They owned a what is called the 6 Mile Inn, but was actually called the 6 Mile Wayfarer House.
I know this story.
Yeah, you know this story? Yeah, I do. Yeah, it's a good one. It's a good one. It's one of my favorites. So, they were both charged for literal highway robbery. They were part of a very large highway robbery gang that went on, and the 6 Mile Wayfarer House often held members of this gang, and she held a lot of bad people there. It was where criminals went to relax, basically. It was a nice, relaxing place for the criminals to hang out.
Stanley Hotel, but make it spicy.
So first and foremost, it's not very clear if she actually killed anyone.
Casey K. Barlow, she did it.
It's not very clear if she actually killed anyone. There's not a lot of evidence that she did. However, again, we'll get to that later. So, first and foremost, okay, so the story that everyone knows is that, if you know the story, is that she would lure men in, inviting them for dinner, and she would grill them at dinner. Like, she would interrogate them about what they did for a living and all, like, what their lifestyle was, all sorts of stuff, to try to figure out if they had money. Now, one legend says she would give them poison tea before sending them to bed, and then John would go up and kill them, and they would steal all their money. Another legend says, and this is the more popular one, is that she would wait, and she would, like, send them upstairs to go to bed, wait until they fell asleep, and she, this is the craziest shit, but I, like, can't make this stuff up. She had a lever she would pull, and it would drop the bed into a pit below the house.
Murder Castle.
Yeah, exactly.
Early Murder Castle.
Early Murder Castle. She is actually not very well known, but it is said that she may have been one of the first female serial killer of the United States. But again, it has never been quite proven if she actually killed anyone or not. But anyway, yeah, she would pull a lever and the bed would drop. And we'll get to why, again later, why that is such a stigma that surrounds this place. So some believed, and this is a weird little factoid, some believe there were spikes at the bottom of the pit that would kill the men instantly. But my thought is, I thought she was poisoning them with tea, but she could have also been poisoning them to make them sleepy. You can put belladonna in tea. That makes people sleepy if you don't put too much. So oleander will put people to sleep. Yeah.
Are y'all slowly trying to poison me with tea?
Yes.
Voluntarily, why are you guys doing that?
So the reason why the whole bed falling, like the whole lever being pulled, the bed dropping dramatically.
Pull the lever, crunk.
A man named John Peoples, that is his real name. His name is John Peoples.
Mr. Peoples?
Mr. Peoples. He stopped at the inn to ask if they had any vacancies, but Lavinia told him they didn't. They were full. However, she offered for him to still come inside and have some tea and relax. However, he hated tea, but because he didn't want to be impolite, he took the tea and politely, I even put the little squigglies, he politely dumped the tea in a nearby
plant.
So she interrogated him like she normally did for hours. She interrogated him. But because he didn't drink the tea, he wasn't getting sleepy. So she suddenly discovered, quote unquote, discovered that they did have a vacancy. So she sent him up to his room to go to bed. He felt suspicious about the whole thing, about the whole situation, about being interrogated by her and, you know, being questioned because she was probably asking a lot of questions about his lifestyle and what he did for a living and probably figured out that he made good money.
Taking a note from one of my favorite podcasts, My Favorite Murder, fuck politeness.
Yeah.
Fuck politeness, run.
Yeah.
Follow your gut.
Yeah, so he felt suspicious about this whole situation. So instead of sleeping in the bed, he slept by a wooden chair that was by the door because he wanted to watch his back. He didn't want anyone sneaking up on him. He didn't feel comfortable in this place. So he slept by a wooden chair by the door. So apparently, this man woke up in the middle of the night to the sound of the bed falling through the floor. And when he opened his eyes, the bed was gone. And it looked like a literal trap door had flung open and had fallen.
Terrifying.
Had dropped the bed down. This man jumped out the window and rode all the way to Charleston to report the incident. And this is when these two were finally caught. See, beforehand, a lot of men were going missing. And the police were slowly putting together the puzzle pieces of, like,
the evidence.
Yeah, they didn't have any evidence because Lavinia was perfectly polite and perfectly nice, and so was her husband, John. Not John Peoples, but John Fisher. Mm-hmm.
Thank God we came up with original names in the last couple centuries.
So the police were finally putting all this stuff together, and they were slowly figuring out that each of these men that had gone missing, the last place they had been seen was the Six Mile Inn. So it was a slow process, and then this guy rides up, Mr. Peoples here, rides up, and he tells the police the whole story.
Hey, yo, this bitch dropped my bed through the floor. Yeah,
he literally was like, yo, this fucking bitch. Yeah, so because of him, the two were finally caught and sent to be hanged. It took a full year after they were arrested and many attempts out of getting out of it before they were finally hanged. So John often denied everything and took most of the blame for what had happened.
That doesn't make sense. Everything's wrong, but I did all.
Yeah, he...
Everything's wrong, I didn't do anything, but I did all of the anything.
Yeah, he took most of the blame for everything that had happened trying to protect Lavinia, and Lavinia strongly was like, this never happened, I never did this. They fought to not be hanged so hard that it took them a whole ass year, like more than a year, to get these two people hanged.
Damn.
On top of that, back then it was very common. I think it might still be in practice today. I'm not sure if it is or not in states that still have the death penalty. Mm-hmm. But it was very common for if you were sentenced to be hanged or whatever, they would send a priest and have the priest bless you. And you know, you could ask for your forgiveness and like, mm-hmm. you know.
It's like a last rite.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Lavinia refused this process. John took it. John spoke to the priest and got himself blessed and whatnot. Lavinia absolutely refused. And in the video I watched, I can't remember how he worded it, but it was something along the lines of she was very stoic and she was very blank-faced and just refused to speak at all. Like, didn't only refuse to not have this done, refused to speak.
Period.
And until she kicked, they basically had to drag her up onto that platform kicking and screaming. She fought till the very end that she was not,
like, she was innocent. She didn't do any of this stuff.
Yeah, she fought to the very end that she was innocent, that she didn't do any of this, until they put the rope around her neck and she stood out there. Lavinia's last words to the crowd were, if any of you have a message for the devil, tell me now, for I shall be seeing him shortly.
Ooh. Yeah.
And then she was hanged. So, that's fun.
That's a deathbed confession, well, if I've ever heard one.
Exactly, a literal deathbed confession.
Is she the one that said something about, you can't hang me, I'm still married, my husband's still alive, and they're like, joke's on you, we killed him an hour ago, and then, like, pulled the lever and killed her?
I don't remember hearing anything about that.
I think there is a woman that was executed like that, like... She's like, I'm still a married woman, you can't hang me. And they're like, we killed your husband an hour ago, goodbye, bitch. Like, that's, yeah. I don't remember what story that's from, but I feel like that's a thing that happened, because I was rolling.
Yeah, that's rough. So yeah, that happened. It's a very interesting story. There's a few other little tidbits.
I love that story. I forgot that, about that story.
That mm-hmm. does look like the murder house, like almost like the murder mansion. Like, yeah. It's so similar.
The trap doors?
Mm-hmm. Huh. It's very similar. That's what I thought of too when I first was listening to it and heard about it.
You know what shit like that makes me think of? You remember that episode of BuzzFeed Unsolved where it's like, you know what? I love this right out the gate. Like, what do you love about it? Well, I love when serial killers have a fun little thing.
Have a fun little thing. Yeah. Oh, Shane Madej. I don't approve serial killers, but it's fun when they have a little thing they do.
But if you're gonna do it.
This was definitely their thing.
Yes.
They poisoned people and then they killed them. However, again, there is no actual evidence that she ever killed anyone because she maintained innocence until the moment she died.
And there was no evidence.
There was no concrete. No concrete. Except for that one person.
My question is, how is there no concrete evidence?
Where are the bodies?
I don't think, I didn't read anything about them ever finding any bodies. Granted, she ran with a very large group of highway robbers, so they could have easily gotten rid of the bodies for her.
Oh, yeah.
And her husband, I think I read somewhere, I didn't write it down in my notes, that her and her husband often committed these robberies with this gang.
Uh-huh.
And both of them were sentenced for highway robbery at one point, but that was not punishable by death at the time. They got away with a lot of shit.
Now.
I wonder.
Not if, now. No.
I don't know if like back if that's around the same time where like some murderers were like starting to use the acid method of getting rid of the bodies, like.
I actually, that's a good point. I forgot to write down a date in here. You bring up a very good point. Hold on.
Twas a long time ago.
It was a long time ago, and that's why she's considered to be America's first female serial killer. So this happened, it doesn't say when exactly this happened. However, she was born in 1793 and was hanged in 1820. She was only 26 to 27, yeah. So she was very young. Cause of death, execution, yes. So this happened probably 18 teens. Like, probably somewhere between 1815 and 1820.
And when was acid popularized as a body disposable method? What conversation are we having right now?
Jesus. Well, because we were talking about the murder house and murder house.
Yeah, no, I'm fully like, aware. It hit me in the face. It hit me in the face like a brick that I am asking when acid was popularized as a body disposal method.
Oh no, Lavinia was buried in a potter's field, which means she had an unmarked grave, basically.
Oh no.
Yeah. They did not like this woman. They did not like her.
So she could be haunting someone's fucking like house or something.
Her own murder castle.
Okay, so Lavinia also was convinced that she would be pardoned because she was a woman. From moments, she was convinced that she would be pardoned. That's why she was kicking and screaming so hard.
Yeah, I knew that.
Because she was convinced she would be pardoned up until the moment she died, when she basically gave a deathbed confession is what that was. Also, and I'm reading, this is straight off the Wikipedia page, so this is quoted from Wikipedia. On the gallows in front of the Old City Jail before John Fisher's execution, Reverend Furman read aloud a letter John had composed, which stated that since he had become a Christian, he could not be executed with a lie held to his account. Therefore, he insisted on his innocence and asked for mercy on those who had done him wrong in the judicial process. After the minister read the letter, Fisher then began to plead his case before the gathered crowd of some 2,000. He then seemingly contradicted himself by asking for their forgiveness. So they were both just like...
Yeah, not great people.
No.
Not a fun time.
Except we still don't know if they actually murdered people. Because there's no evidence. Except the one guy who claims he saw his bed fall through the floor.
It looks like the acid disposing method was started around 1949.
Okay, so definitely not.
Definitely not that. They were probably just getting rid of them. If they had bodies under the house, they probably were just having people take them way out and get rid of them.
Animals,
yeah.
Or both.
Yeah. Both.
Feed them to the coyotes.
Well, that's the story of Lavinia Fisher and the Six Mile Inn. There's not a lot of information. I mean, there is a lot of information on that story, but not a lot of relevant information.
Yeah.
Most of it's very, you know, cut and dry. So, yeah, that's one of my new favorite ones, because when I see stories like that, especially when it involves women who are the culprits.
Growing up, not having a lot of, like, strong female characters, the female characters always are, like, the princesses. So, like... And it's horrible to think this, but it's truly how our brains work. To have, like, someone that's a bad bitch and will take what the fuck she wants. I understand it's a terrible situation. I understand that completely. Never take someone's life from them like that. Like,
no.
But to have a, for lack of better, air quotes, strong female character in a story in life.
Yeah.
It's from a deprivation of strong female characters we grew up with.
I truly believe that. Yeah.
I'm not condoning murder. Don't do it.
No, we're not condoning. Nobody's condoning.
Be a bad bitch.
Murder or poisoning of any sort.
Bitches get money. Don't murder.
Especially not for the money, because that seems like the case for both.
Yeah,
definitely. If you murder for money, you're gonna get fucking caught. Like, yeah. That's how that
if you murder for anything, you're gonna get fucking caught.
True. Yeah. But money has a paper trail.
True. Oh,
yeah. Next week, we're gonna have some pretty awesome stories.
I might actually do research this time.
I know, me too.
We'll see.
Guys, I feel like I'm the only one that's doing research. What is this?
I mean, I did research for both of these, but...
I did some research. I mostly read off of Wikipedia tonight.
That's okay.
We had a good conversation, though. You learned something.
My next story, I am personally tied to. So...
My next story, I am not.
Neither am I, but it is a conspiracy theory.
I will give you guys a hint. I am talking about a serial killer, and I am not personally tied to him, but I am personally tied to someone in his line of fire. So
I'm talking about a mysterious death in early Hollywood, mm-hmm. and there's a trillion of those, so good luck guessing which one's fuckers.
Yeah.
There's a lot of conspiracy theories, so many. Too.
Thank you all for joining us at our Spooky Time Tea Party. Don't forget to spread the spook by sharing with your friends and family or whoever else you think might enjoy our show. If you have a story you would like to share or for us to talk about, you can email us at spookytimetea@gmail.com or reach out to us on Instagram, Twitter, etc., etc. All the socials.
Mm-hmm. We are glad to hear from you guys.
I'm yes, we love hearing from you guys. All right, well, guys, remember... fuck bitches, get money, but don't murder while doing it. Sweet dreams.